Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are a couple of credentialed Clippers media people and best friends.
We made it, somehow.
We did it. And we bring you Clippers news 5 days a week as Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yep.
Make sure and check out the rest of the shows on that network. A lot of good stuff out there. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's my favorite day of the week.
What day is that?
Twitter Tuesday.
Nice.
Every single Monday, because we record the show a day ahead, Chuck puts out a questionnaire on Twitter. You can go ahead and respond with your questions. You can also always send those over to @WillUpdike, @CharlesMockler for a chance to get your question featured on the show. Thank you so much to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. Actually, a lot of good stuff in there.
Fantastic questions this week.
And then in segment two, we have a little segment I'm calling Threat Level Midnight.
Yeah, a lot of your segments have been worry themes this week, which
Western
I like.
Western Conference Edition. Basically, we're going to be running down the sort of tiers of the teams that worry us the most in the Western Conference. And then there was a segment on First Take about who could dethrone the Lakers. Clippers nowhere mentioned in this segment.
Back to the shadows.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then in Shavings, which is just where we kind of open up that weird kitchen drawer that everyone has full of knickknacks. But this one's of the NBA. And there's some stuff about the finalization of the assistant coaching staff, as well as a deleted Shams tweet that you're going to want to hear Chuck Mockler's conspiracy about.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty deep.
So all of that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Again, you can send those questions into @LockedOnClips, @WillUpdike, or @CharlesMockler. We're going to hop right into it. Often question asker, which I always appreciate this, Big Ben on Twitter asked, what do you think the Clippers' new identity should be this season? I don't know about you guys, but I'm done with the whole team full of dogs label they got. We also got a question from Lob City Loyalist, or he replied to this, excuse me, Lob City Loyalist. He said, I think the team should follow Kawhi's vibe. Enough talk, just STFU and hoop. Zoo Sham Kawhi's already due, just get everyone on board. I love the inclusion of Zoo.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy who needs to buy in.
You think so?
No, I'm just playing.
I don't know what the vibe should be. Like the label, like I agree, the team full of dogs thing was weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love this question. And, you know, we've talked about this here before. Like that was a huge issue with the team last year that they didn't have an identity. That team of dog things no longer fit the team once they went ahead and added two all-stars to a team whose previous identity was no all-stars.
Yeah.
So that was never going to work to try and just recycle that concept with a couple of new guys. So I like what Lob City Loyalist here is saying, that like the team should follow Kawhi's vibe.
Yeah.
And I like that in the terms of like, you know, leading by example, doing it on the court, letting that speak for itself. And I think that that is half right. I still think that there needs to be an internal identity.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And what I mean with that is just like, what is it that this team uses to, you know, to beat other teams, to get to that mindset that they need to get to, and do the work. And I do think that that is going to have to come down on more than just, you know, deferring to Kawhi. Because
for sure, that's a great call.
I think we saw
someone stepping up, and then you say that's just blank basketball is what I imagine the post game
exactly
the post
exactly.
game interview being
exactly. And because we saw, you know, I think last year there were parts of games where the identity fell into just follow what Kawhi does. And I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, there needs to be that, like, be it just a little team inside joke or something that we maybe don't know about.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Like, remember when Trez was in the 2K tournament and he scored with Patrick Patterson and he kept going, come on, shoulders. And that's how we all found out that they called Patrick Patterson shoulders, which is hilarious. I want that to be kind of the identity for someone to make an offhand comment in the post game and then fans. And media's like, oh, okay, that's what the team knows it before we know it.
Absolutely.
It would be the best way to go about this.
And I think like having a clear locker room voice makes some of that stuff come about a little bit more organically.
Yes.
And the inside joke thing, I mean, that's how Lob City started.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Which is why we should sign Dion Waiters. No, I'm just kidding. Clippers champs 2021. Love the optimistic Twitter handle. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people are down on Clipper Nation on Twitter right now, but it's going to be okay. They ask, with a new season coming up so quick, do you think we won't have very good chemistry considering the new staff changes? Pardon me, a little bit.
So,
just from the beginning, not that it will be bad, it just will not be good.
Yeah. So I don't know about the on-court chemistry. I would hope that, you know, I'm going to hope that more of that is on just needing a little bit more time together on court to get like fully ready and comfortable. In terms of the coaching staff, I do worry a little bit that, you know, they're going to struggle to get those guys on the same page as far as, you know, figuring out what that game plan is going to be and then, you know, being able to execute it in a way that's going to become second nature for the guys. I gotta be honest. I think that the staff, especially just given who we got for head coaches, I'm actually pretty optimistic in terms of the staff influencing the chemistry in a good way.
Yeah.
I just still have questions about like what it's actually going to be like on the court. But yeah. I guess what I'm saying is that I don't necessarily think that the staff is going to make it any worse than it was last year.
Definitely. We're going to have more input from the assistant coaches. Like, you also have to assume they're going to have to break up a lot of stuff to assistant coaches so everyone can get on the same page.
Definitely.
Right? Like, there's going to be coaches. I don't know. I have some confidence in it. It's just not going to be like great right off the bat. I mean, if it is, hell yeah, let's get it. But yeah. It's not going to be bad. Afghan Stallion, which, first of all, fantastic Twitter handle. Biggest free agent target with our mid-level exception. So there's a couple mid-level exceptions that we could end up with. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of things up in the air. Shout out to LA Clippers Film also for tweeting out our episode about things we need to take care of before the season starts. There could be, this is per cap expert Lucas Hahn. Check out 213 Hoops, please support it. We could end up with the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $9.2 million, if we kind of lean into the cap but don't get hard capped. Then there's the taxpayer mid-level exception, of course, for the person who pays taxes. The $5.7 million is that figure.
Yes.
Both of these just kind of scream Nerlens Noel to me if we end up keeping like Morris and Jamichael.
Yes, I agree.
Cap stuff is weird because our players, there's a great article actually on 213 Hoops where they talk about like, is Jamichael Green, like could he opt into his $5 million because he maybe doesn't know what the contract uncertainty is going to be after this next season and stuff like that. So there's a lot of balls up in the air with this kind of thing, but there's not a lot of like point guards, not a lot of depth in terms of who's available for who we can afford, who's going to be like a quote unquote huge difference maker.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we can get to that non-payer exemption, obviously things open up a little bit more. You know, 9.2 mil, it's a pretty decent chunk of change to be able to play around with on this market. I think, you know, so there's less guys, I guess, that I would want at that 9.6 million number, which is actually a little bit ironic.
Yeah.
Just because I think there are possibly some better fits out there for a little cheaper. Yeah. Now, assuming that we're able to retain Jamichael, who I'm hoping just opts back in, but I would understand if he wanted to re-sign.
Yeah.
And assuming that we keep Morris, you know, I've talked about this. If we could get to that nine number, I don't know if that's enough to get Hassan Whiteside. But I really like the idea of Hassan on that second unit.
So we're both thinking centers. MC Ren 80, or might be McRen, who knows, asked, what's our preference for guards and for bigs? For guards, they offered Dinwiddie, Chris Dunn, Jeff Teague, Michael Carter-Williams.
Uh-huh.
And then bigs was Christian Wood, Hassan Whiteside, Ibaka, and Nerlens.
Oh, okay. So
the bigs, like for Christian Wood, we're not getting him for the MLE. You got to be signing him to a contract. He's not going to, you know what I mean? Like,
I think he might be able to get, I think nine might be able to make it go. This is a guy.
I don't think so.
This is a guy who's played on six different teams in what, four NBA seasons.
Hey, I love Christian Wood.
I do too. I think it just depends on how much money teams with cap space are willing to shell out. You know, they're,
yeah,
some of the teams with the most cap space would be teams looking for the, you know, looking for a big man. So I do think that's a little bit, that does make it a little bit difficult. In terms of like bigs, I really like Whiteside the most, and I'm still assuming that he is going to be a second unit guy.
Of course, yeah.
If you can get him for that,
I don't think you're starting Whiteside in a Ty Lue offense.
No. But it's, I mean, it's exciting, and I think if he were to play well and really buy in, he could maybe get some, not hopefully not as drastic, but some of those kind of Trez level minutes, even where you're, you know, sometimes closing games if the matchup is right.
Guards, I'm kind of lukewarm on all those.
Yeah. Well, to finish with the bigs, I guess Whiteside to me, if you can get him at that price, is great. Or Wood, I'd put those guys same tier.
Yeah.
And then Knoll is really exciting to me. I think you can get him for a lot less than that 9.2 million number.
Yeah. And I don't think MC Ren was taking into account the 9.2 just for this. But we're just talking MLEs right now.
And then lowest for me would be Ibaka. I don't know. Nine seems like a lot to me. For Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
I do think that he could be a spark plug on that second unit. Obviously, he has a more varied skill set than anybody else on the board. I guess I just don't know if I love the fit.
Yeah, Jay Park asked, would he be an ideal big for us? I mean, maybe as a bench player, for sure. Real quick, got a couple more. Nick Jacobs asked, if there's a choice between the two, is Jermichael or Mook more important to the team? And Dynasty Celtics wants to know the max price we would pay to re-sign Morris. So I think Mook is more valuable to the team.
Yes.
Than Jermichael.
I think that you could get him for that 9 number.
He's another thing up in the air too. Like, do you take the longer contract? Do you maybe take the MLE and think you can get more? Like, but I think I love both of them. It's very close. But I think Morris is, you know, you can start Morris pretty comfortably. Not that you can't start Jermichael, but like Morris knows. I just like Morris more.
I agree. If you have to make a choice between the two, to me, it's an easy choice. We talked about this on a previous episode. I've said multiple times that Mook is the most important free agency signing, you know, the most important offseason question facing the Clippers. He improved the defensive rating of the team. They were better with him on the floor than they were in lineups with just Kawhi and Paul George defensively. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he can do, you know, he's bought into a role really well offensively that gets
That's what
a lot
everyone
of space.
Was worried about. Yeah. Everyone was like, is he going to be able to do this? And there was only a couple instances of like, that's way too long of a two, way too early in the shot.
Yeah. And I love Jermichael. I will be legitimately bummed to lose either one of these guys.
I'll be as bummed as if we don't resign Jermichael, I'll be as bummed as if we don't draft Jan Madar.
Yes, that's fair. But if somebody's putting the taser to my dome piece,
that is a no guns pod.
Got to keep. I'm keeping Morris
for sure. Final question at it's Tyler MV. What impact will the new coaching hires have on the team? What would you say is the Clippers' biggest need in the rotation, and how might they go about acquiring that need? New coaching hires are going to bring exactly what this team needed, which is new coaching hires. Yeah, so, I mean that in a very nice way, but they needed something new from a team strategy perspective.
We're going to talk about the coaching situation a little bit more in the last segment, but the biggest need in the rotation, I think, just is a more solid rotation. I think that
that's fair.
There wasn't a lot of experimentation, and we would rely on a lot of things that weren't always the most effective, and I think that kind of bit us in the butt. And as far as acquiring something, I think that, you know, getting a backup center to replace Trez is going to be important. And also, if we could get another guard for that second unit, if we don't end up keeping Reggie, I think that those are like the two big personnel things.
That's a good call. I just saw a tweet saying that Austin Rivers is going to be opting out of his current contract.
Hey, okay. All right.
No more Doc. Say hello, Austin. Who knows? Coming up after this, we're going to be talking, I believe it's threat level clip night, as we're calling it now.
Love it.
Just thought of that right off the dome. But first, got to give a shout out to Built Go.
You have to.
If you're familiar with this pod, you know that we love Built Bar. Well, from the makers of Built Bar is Built Go. It's a collagen protein. Just gets you jacked up in a very healthy, natural way. You get that 2 p.m. lull. Don't take a nap. Crush a Built Go. It's a 5-hour energy without the same, you know, kind of crash feeling that you get with that, which is good. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, gets into your system very quickly, whether it's a back nine, whether it's a presentation.
You're going to crush it. Also, you don't have to chew it, which is really convenient for me. Yes. Sometimes I'm loving a Built Bar, but I'm like, I wish I could slurp this
down. I could just all at once. Got B6, you got B12, 10,000% of your daily percent of B12, which is quite a bit. Collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, which is fantastic. Right now, if you want a special deal on this, go to Built Go, use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, one word, and you'll get $30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Okay, so we're back with threat level clips night.
Yes, pretty psyched. Oh, changed again. All right, cool. Psyched on it. It was clip night first.
Oh, for God's sake.
We're throwing this whole damn episode out. Yeah, what do we got on here? What are we talking?
All right, so.
This is also, we've kind of had a Back to the Shadows theme the past like 3 or 4 episodes. And yes. I think we're manifesting it well.
Could this be the identity the Clippers have needed?
Just a bunch of capes. People wearing capes. All right, what are we talking about? Sorry.
All right, so we're talking about the Western Conference teams that scare us the most. So I'll preface it with this. First Take did a segment on who could dethrone the Lakers. Stephen A. really liked the Warriors. He seemed incredibly hyped on them.
Yeah.
Whereas Max Kellerman liked the Nuggets. They had some various reasons. Obviously, the Warriors, you know, great shooting backcourt, he cited.
Yes.
Another thing is, like, we don't know what they're doing in free agency yet.
Or with the draft.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then, obviously the Nuggets, they're young. They step up in the playoffs.
Yeah, we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Good times, Max.
The Clippers were nowhere near in this conversation.
Keep us out of it.
Of teams that could dethrone the Lakers, which I got to agree with. That is actually kind of a comforting thing. I'm glad that we're off the news, that we're off the airwaves.
Talk about everybody else.
Yes. We're going to be chilling in the small market of LA.
Yeah, the forgotten pocket of the United States.
All right,
Clippers done.
So, I guess it opens it up for this segment, which is just with the West getting better, obviously. What are the teams that scare you the most?
So, I joked about this in the beginning when I said all of them.
Uh huh.
But it's literally all of them except for the Kings and
the Suns, realistically.
I don't know, man.
That's fair.
Like, the Suns always caught. I mean, they beat us last year with down a bunch of people.
Are we talking regular season? Or,
yeah, because I think
I'm
that plays
into
regular
it. Season. 72
games.
Okay.
Oh, so in terms of playoffness.
Yeah.
Every single team. The West is just going to get better again. I know that's hyperbole, whatever, but everyone's going to be, the Warriors are going to be back, and our own division's getting better.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess I have kind of three tiers.
And it's also, I mean, the Nuggets, I guess, because those seem like, it seems like we're destined. It's probably not going to be the Lakers as often as fans want.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be destined to have a new insanely high pressure rivalry with the Nuggets in the playoffs for the next 5-year pocket, whatever.
Could be. I mean,
they already.
A lot of people are predicting that could be the Christmas game is Clippers Nuggets.
Yeah. So like we already have, there's obviously history and stuff like that. Like the foundation is there for a pretty absurd rivalry coming up.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of have three tiers. And tier one has got to be, I would definitely put the Warriors in there. But some of that I think that's scaring me is just the uncertainty. Like, I don't know if they end up keeping that pick, if they're able to move it to get another forward or the kind of center that they've really been looking for.
Yeah.
That makes them really scary. Obviously the scoring is just going to be, it's going to be there. I don't know how we defend a backcourt like that, to be perfectly honest, in any sort of series. And then I guess I like the matchup at the 5 for us currently against the Warriors.
I do too. But we also, that's going to open up so much more when they get all their health back.
Yeah.
Like the matchup with the 5, it's like it probably won't matter as much.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, if Zoo's going up against Looney or something, I think it's going to be all right. If they end up getting somebody in that kind of same realm as
us. They draft like LaMelo Ball. I don't, like, there's so much weird stuff with the draft too.
So I'm less worried about it. They actually move down for me from tier 1 to tier 2 if they end up drafting instead of trading
the pick.
Adding another piece.
Seems like they should probably just add another piece.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And I still don't know how the Andrew Wiggins thing is going to work, but I just feel like they could maybe figure it out for him.
If he's like the 4th option, Or yeah. third option. Well, you're just paying them so much.
I think the thing that just has to step up for him is defensively. And I think that you know, we've seen Golden State time and again be able to use these guys in an efficient manner. I think no one has ever yelled in Andrew Wiggins' ear on offense or on defense,
yeah.
than Draymond Green will. And so I think you kind of stop making mistakes when that sort of thing happens.
Draymond Green's in your face? That's a very good call.
They are in that tier one for me. And then the Lakers still obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in that tier, I kind of had like the.
So I guess I have opponents that I think we would see in the Western Conference Finals in a different category where I'm not even really considering that because our battle is just to get to the Western Conference Finals.
That's fair. That's fair.
And like we run on the Lakers, it's probably going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Would be my
I'm
guess.
Not saying that these are guaranteed matchups. I'm just saying that this is like the tier of fear. I mean, if you will.
Okay, I like that. I mean, Mavs is up there.
Mavs is in tier one for you?
I mean, yeah.
The Mavs are not in tier one for me.
Playoffs were close.
The Mavs are firmly in tier two to maybe tier three.
So tier three for me is like
Jazz.
Yeah, Jazz is tier three. Kings.
Thunder.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
I don't want to say this because I do have two MVPs, but I think Houston to me might be slipping into that tier three. I'm just not fully sure. Yeah, I'm just not fully sure if they're still sitting in like the top of the Western Conference this season. I'm not quite positive.
Yeah.
And I, you know, once again, another hard backcourt to play. Another hard backcourt that I don't really see a whole lot of answers for us defending. Obviously, we have the personnel to do it in a playoff scenario, and we have seen it before. But yeah, I think they might be slipping to a tier three for me. Tier two for me is firmly Nuggets. I would put the Mavs in there, but that's very dependent on health, to be honest.
That's true, and they might add some other pieces too.
They could possibly add another
piece. I still
think
it's so funny that Montrezl Harrell's like rumored to go to the Mavs just after what happened. As a whole, the Western Conference, like seeding, we've talked about it. Like seeding, I'm like, as long as we're top five,
yeah,
I'm cool.
Yeah. And then 2-3, yeah, like I said, Thunder, Spurs.
I think the Suns are going to be better than people think, and they're already on that list of teams of people who are going to be better than people.
They're good enough that I'm adding them to tier three of fear.
Are there sub tiers?
There's people who have not made the tier.
That's fair. Man, I hope the Pac Div is good so we can do. We used to have a dedicated segment to Pac Div basketball
every single Friday, baby.
To try and drum up excitement for the Pacific Division. It's really all on the Kings to make it interesting this year.
Yeah.
Every other team is
Everybody
good.
Everybody else is stepping it up.
And interesting. So hopefully I won't have to do any more horrible Pacific Division playoff predictions.
What? Are the Blazers in your tier of fear?
Man, I don't know. It depends on what our team's mental state is, because I think that plays a big part in it.
I think with a healthy Nurkic, depending on what they do with their backup center situation, if they retain Whiteside or not, it trips me out that they have Melo in their starting lineup, so I don't know that they're probably in tier three. That's but still fair. Dangerous.
Seems like all the tiers are pretty close together. Well, I mean, you know, once we get Yam, I'm not going to have very many teams in tier one, if you know what I'm saying. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking shavings, which is where we just look at all the old random stuff. It's an ode to our old podcast, which was a good time. Ryan Schumacher, famous Lakers fan, was turned into a Clippers fan on that podcast. We're going to be talking a Woj, false detonation, and then a deleted Shams tweet.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. Happens every single day. It's where we just kind of open up the kitchen drawer of the NBA, see what's shaking around.
Yeah.
So the coaching staff is looking a little bit more finalized for the Clippers.
Yes.
Chauncey Billups and Larry Drew have finalized deals to join Ty Lue's staff.
Yeah.
Does this worry us about the possibility of adding Kenny Atkinson?
No, I don't know why all this news is so weirdly disjointed. Someone tweeted, when Woj tweeted this out, I quote tweeted it after a couple of glasses of wine on Sunday and said, okay, now do Dan Craig. And they're like, Dan Craig was finalized. And he like, it said he was going, but there wasn't like the final tweet. So like, I think assistant coach stuff just doesn't get as much attention and just is reported in a goofier way. I think we're fine with Atkinson.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's already such an absurd roster of assistant coaches that, I mean, pretty damn good. I hope we're good on Atkinson, but I think these things are just weird.
Yeah, I think so too. You already have so much experience on the bench there with Ty Lue. I think either way, is probably how it's supposed to shake out.
Yeah, like not getting Atkinson would suck.
But it would also kind of be like, maybe it would be a too many cooks thing.
Yes, which is it's just one of those things. Yeah, they just move at a different speed than players, I think is also a thing too.
Yeah, that's like a good call. In terms of
negotiations.
Yeah, that's a good
I think
call.
It's a different, we're so used to that. But no, they'll probably announce Atkinson. It'll be a very lame Woj tweet where it's like the Clippers have announced they finalized an agreement with Kenny Atkinson. And then he'll put a Kenny Rogers gif and he'll be like, whoops, that was supposed to be my burner.
Coaches also don't have a union, which I wonder if that extends the contract negotiation period, because players have a union,
good call,
which kind of expedites things. But yeah, I didn't realize that the coaches didn't have a union until Mike Malone was talking about how none of the coaches were allowed to have their family members there.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah, I never really think about the labor relations of the NBA because I don't need to go down a dark path.
That's a very good call. All right, now we're kind of getting into conspiracy territory.
I like it. We're primed now.
I'm putting my conspiracy hat on. I'm double checking to make sure that this is a factual thing. But Shams had a tweet and then deleted it.
Okay, juicy.
I know, which you always like. This, he broke that old president we used to have having COVID, which was pretty crazy, if you guys remember that. Which feels like so long ago. He tweeted and then deleted that the NBA will allow its 30 franchises to add a name/logo to the neckline of game jerseys with a sponsor, charitable, or public service initiative. And then he deleted it.
Ooh.
He also said the G League was going to be doing it too.
And then do you think this was a situation where he spoke too early and
they ended up reneging
on that?
I think it was, or I think it's still going to go through, and they're just like, you just can't say anything yet.
Gotcha. You think it still goes through, or?
Yes, I think it still goes through. The owners want more money. They don't need more money. They want more money from this next season. This is a really, you can pitch this idea as it's not as big of an ad as soccer jerseys or something like that for the crowd that might not like this.
Yeah.
I personally don't like this because I just feel like it's going to be most likely a sponsor as opposed to a charitable or public service
most
initiative.
Definitely. Especially with lost revenue, it's definitely going to be a sponsor.
I think those last two options are kind of like for the Ballmers, if you will, and not the Rockets owner who's like broke and lives in a McMansion or whatever.
I'm trying to imagine, I guess, just in my head what the name/logo is going to look like. Like, are we talking like tiny little like lapel pin sized logo, or are we talking like clavicle tattoo all the way across the neckline? Like,
that's what I'm wondering. Yeah, like how, or is it just on the, is it on the same side as the little patches? Because that seems dumb.
If it's lapel pin sized on the opposite side of the thing, I think I'm in.
So if it's on the, what is that, right shoulder?
The right shoulder, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm in because I like that they sell you the jersey without the corporate logos on it. I like that there's that.
Yes.
But, I mean, I guess I don't really care.
I gotta be honest. If they're still selling the jerseys without the corporate logos on them, until it gets to a certain point, I kind of do not care about one more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like, one more I'm kind of fine with. I think maybe you could do a small one on the back. Anything more than that, and I'm maybe going to start to get a little bit annoyed. I don't need it to look like a, like some gutter punk,
They're so in patches.
Patched up denim jacket.
So
in
Nike patches. That's so funny. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, if it's one or two more, I'm not flipping. If that means we can finally shut up about the lost revenue and who knows, maybe pace the games out a little bit more and not have to worry about having crowds there. That's fine. I'll take that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, not have to worry about jam packing crowds and stuff. Like, if there's another way to make up a little bit of the revenue, like, whatever, I'm fine with it. I know these billionaires are really hurting.
Bomber, sobbing.
Just a difficult, difficult time for them. So, I feel bad.
What's your number one? What would you want the collar sponsor of the Clippers to be?
If it's just a collar?
Yeah. If it's like, just like right on the
like the lapel, yeah. Like the lapel pin. Well, I'm going to go for charitable organization. Okay. Well, it's a for-profit organization, but it would be charitable of them to do it, which is just bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I just think it'd be funny if the Dodgers did.
Oh, man. There's just like, it's just Spectrum.
Oh, God. That would be horrible. Okay, so that's the thing. If it's like Spectrum, I'm like, this sucks. Like,
what about Netflix?
That would be a nightmare, too.
Yeah, it'd look terrible.
That would be funny because that would probably be the move that Netflix is like, well, I guess we're done. We lost all our
money. That's the Clippers, so we'll get Quibi, the non-existent streaming yeah, service.
That'll be a good time. Let us know who you think the sponsor should be. This might end up being our Love, Mary, Quarantine. Who knows? Probably going to be a good time. Wednesday's episode, we're going to be having What You Say Wednesday, which is where I put out a pretty controversial question usually on Twitter. Everyone's talking about them. At Locked On Clips, there will be a question put out around 10 in the morning, somewhere around there, Pacific specifically. Some draft pick talk. We've got a couple more sent to us. Got to do some research. Got to do some breakdowns. That 57th pick is wide open. If you have any ideas, send them in. So that's how I figured out how much I want Yamadar on this team. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Where do you listen to podcasts?
I listen to podcasts on iTunes or the podcast app, but I've heard you can also listen to them on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Deezer. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. So check us out there. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating and review if you like what we're doing. It really helps us out. And yeah, just keep rocking with us, you know?
It's been a good time. Off season is flying by.
It is. I mean, the season is starting in weeks.
Yeah, mere weeks. Thank you all again so much for hanging out with us. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.